In a time when gods and mortals walked the earth, there lived a man who would become the stuff of legends. Achilles, the hero of heroes, was born of divine lineage. His mother was Thetis, a Nereid, one of the 50 sea goddesses, while his father was Peleus, the mortal king of Phthia in northern Greece. But Achilles was no ordinary child, for his destiny was foretold to be greater than even his divine parents. Achilles's mother, Thetis, was a sea goddess of unparalleled beauty and power. On the other hand, Achilles's father, Peleus, was a direct descendant of Zeus, the king of the gods. The blood of gods and heroes flowed through Achilles's veins, promising greatness beyond imagination. The story of Achilles begins with a divine love triangle. Thetis, the sea goddess, was sought after by none other than Zeus, the king of the gods, and Poseidon, the god of the sea. Yet their desires were thwarted when an oracle's prophecy cast a shadow over their ambitions. It foretold that any child born of Thetis would surpass his father in glory, potentially toppling the gods from their thrones. Not wanting the child to overthrow them the way they did their father Cronus, Zeus and Poseidon relented in their pursuit of Thetis. And so, the gods decided that Peleus, the valiant king of Phthia, would be the chosen mortal to marry the sea goddess. But it was no easy path to wed a goddess. Before their union, Peleus had to endure an arduous trial of love, wrestling with Thetis as she transformed into water, fire, and even wild beasts. His determination and love ultimately won her heart, leading to their grand wedding. The marriage of Peleus and Thetis was a grand event, a union of mortal and divine. All the gods of Olympus were invited except for one, Eris, the goddess of discord. She had a reputation for causing strife and chaos wherever she went. The other gods and goddesses were well aware of Eris's disruptive nature and did not want her presence to cast a shadow over the joyous occasion. However, Eris was slighted by her exclusion and could not resist the temptation to sow chaos among the divine guests. In the midst of the celebration, Eris produced a golden apple inscribed with the words, "To the fairest." Hera, Athena, and Aphrodite all laid claim to the apple, igniting a heated dispute. Their rivalry over the golden prize marked the beginning of a chain of events that would lead to the legendary Trojan War. Though the marriage of Peleus and Thetis was not without its challenges, it bore fruit in the form of a son, Achilles. From his earliest days, Thetis, despite her eventual departure from Peleus, ensured that her son was well cared for and received the best education. Thetis harbored a desire to make Achilles immortal. She immersed him in the mystical waters of the Styx, which flowed through the underworld, rendering him nearly invulnerable. However, the heel by which Thetis held him remained his one vulnerability. Thetis entrusted Achilles's upbringing to the wise centaur Chiron, who resided on the sacred Mount Parnassus. Chiron was not only a master of combat, but also a teacher of medicine and music. Under his tutelage, Achilles honed his skills and wisdom, becoming a formidable warrior and a learned scholar. As the shadows of destiny lengthened, Thetis grew increasingly anxious about her son's involvement in the impending Trojan War. A prophecy foretold that the Trojan War could not be won without the might of Achilles. She hatched a desperate plan to protect him from the conflict. Disguised as a girl, and under the alias Pyrrha, Achilles was secretly sent away to the island of Scyros under the care of King Lycomedes. Here, on the island of Scyros, Achilles found himself ensnared by an emotion as powerful as a mighty spear, love. Deidamia, the daughter of King Lycomedes, possessed a beauty that could rival the goddesses themselves. Her eyes, like sapphires, held the depths of the sea, and her laughter was a melody that enchanted the very birds of the island. It was in her presence that Achilles felt a vulnerability he had never known before. As the days stretched into weeks and weeks into months, their secret romance blossomed like the rarest of flowers in a secluded garden. Achilles faced the sweet agony of love. Deidamia shared stolen moments with Achilles, who had once been an enigma to her. Their love, fierce and passionate, remained hidden from the world, a flame that burned brightly in the shadows. And in the embrace of their clandestine love, a secret of profound consequence was born. A son conceived in secrecy was granted the name Neoptolemus, meaning new warrior. their son, born of a love forbidden by fate, would one day step into the annals of legends, carrying the blood of heroes and the passion of his parents. However, fate had other plans for Achilles. The cunning Odysseus, who possessed a mind as sharp as his sword, was tasked with locating Achilles. His search eventually led him to Scyros, where Odysseus cunningly deposited a heap of gifts before the king's daughters, jewelry, clothes, and other finery, but also a sword and shield. When it came time to select from the gifts, Achilles instinctively grasped the weapons, thus revealing his true identity. As the Greek forces gathered for the voyage to Troy, Thetis, Achilles' mother, revealed to her son two divergent paths, each laden with profound consequences. The choice she presented would shape Achilles' destiny and the course of history itself. One path offered undying fame but a brief life filled with glory. The other promised obscurity but a long, unremarkable existence. Achilles, driven by an unquenchable thirst for renown, chose the former. He would sail to Troy, knowing that he would never return, embarking on a journey that would etch his name into the annals of time. Achilles, with a heart brimming with valor and a fleet of 50 ships at his command, set sail for the distant shores of Troy. His formidable army, the Myrmidons, warriors descended from ants, followed their indomitable leader. Among them stood Patroclus, a dear friend and trusted companion. Yet their voyage was not without tumultuous encounters. Landing in Mysia, they unknowingly engaged in a bloody battle with the Mysian people, led by their king, Telephus. In the chaos of combat, Achilles' spear found its mark, wounding Telephus in the thigh. Desperate for healing, Telephus embarked on a journey to Greece, seeking the one who could mend his wound, the very man who had inflicted it. It was a twist of fate that would eventually lead to the Greeks' return to Troy. As the Greek forces gathered at the port of Aulis, a malevolent wind thwarted their departure to Troy. Agamemnon, the Mycenaean king and commander of the Greeks, turned to the prophet Calchas for guidance. Calchas revealed a grim truth. The winds would only relent if Agamemnon sacrificed his own daughter, Iphigenia, to the goddess Artemis. Agamemnon, torn between the love for his daughter and the desperate need to sail, resorted to deception. He sent a message to Achilles, falsely claiming that he had promised Iphigenia to him in marriage. When Achilles learned of this deceit, he was filled with rage and vowed to protect Iphigenia. But Iphigenia, driven by a selfless love for her country, chose to be sacrificed to save the Greek fleet. Her sacrifice was a solemn and tragic prelude to the horrors of war that awaited them in Troy. In the relentless Greek campaign against Troy, marked by a series of expeditions to secure vital supplies and resources, one particular raid stands out as pivotal: the raid on Tenedos, a strategically located island just off the coast of Troy. This expedition would have far-reaching consequences, setting the stage for a tragic encounter that would change the course of the Trojan War. As the Greek ships approached the shores of Tenedos, Achilles, the unrivaled warrior, stood at the forefront of the assault. His reputation as a fearsome and relentless fighter had already struck fear into the hearts of the Trojans. However, fate had a different plan for Achilles on this day. During the battle, Achilles found himself facing a formidable adversary, Tinnus, a son of the god Apollo. The clash between these two mighty warriors was nothing short of epic, their swords clashing like thunderbolts on the battlefield. It was a duel that would be etched into the annals of history. In the aftermath of their fierce encounter, Apollo, the divine patron of Tinnus, harbored an everlasting hatred for Achilles. This divine resentment would prove to be a dark omen for the hero, setting in motion a chain of events that would ultimately contribute to his downfall. With the raid on Tenedos behind them, the Greek armies, under the leadership of Agamemnon and fueled by the unmatched ferocity of Achilles, began their full-scale assault on the shores of Troy. The Trojan War, a conflict destined to span a decade, had truly begun. The Greeks were driven by a singular purpose: to retrieve Helen, the woman whose legendary beauty had famously launched 1,000 ships. Achilles, the preeminent warrior of the Greek forces, led his loyal Myrmidons with unmatched determination. Together, they embarked on a relentless campaign of raids, pillaging countless cities and islands in their quest to bring Helen back to Greece. In the early years of the war, Achilles' prowess on the battlefield was unparalleled. He vanquished several Trojan champions, leaving a trail of defeated foes in his wake. Among those who fell before him was Cycnus, a formidable son of Poseidon, and Troilus, the youthful prince of Troy. However, amidst the chaos of battle, Achilles' path led him to the city of Lyrnessus, a settlement nestled near the borders of Troy. After raiding and sacking the city, a beautiful woman named Briseis became his spoils of war, a prize for his victory. Little did Achilles know, Briseis' presence in his camp would become a source of tension and conflict. As the Trojan War raged on, Achilles' legendary wrath was ignited by a bitter quarrel with Agamemnon, the authoritative commander of the Greek army. This profound conflict had its origins in a seemingly inconspicuous event. A priest of Apollo named Chryses arrived at the Greek camp, desperately seeking the release of his daughter, who had become a captive of the Greeks and a slave to Agamemnon. When Agamemnon callously spurned the priest's heartfelt pleas, Apollo, the god of prophecy and plague, unleashed a devastating pestilence upon the Greek forces. The once mighty army was now ravaged by a merciless plague, its warriors falling victim to the relentless wrath of the gods. It was Calchas, the revered Greek prophet, who unveiled the truth behind the plague. The root cause was Agamemnon's refusal to reunite Chryses with his daughter. Achilles, guided by his unwavering sense of justice, publicly confronted Agamemnon, demanding the release of the captive girl. Agamemnon, pressured by the mounting calamity, finally conceded to Achilles' demand. However, the proud commander demanded recompense for his perceived loss, a demand that would ignite the flames of Achilles' anger and humiliation. Briseis, the beautiful woman taken as spoils of war from the city of Lyrnessus, was the subject of Agamemnon's desire. He insisted on claiming her as compensation, and in doing so, he unwittingly struck at the core of Achilles' honor and pride. Achilles, humiliated and infuriated by Agamemnon's actions, grappled with a tumultuous decision. Violence and vengeance against Agamemnon beckoned, yet ultimately Achilles chose an unexpected path, withdrawal from the battle. Seeking solace and counsel, he turned to his mother Thetis, the sea goddess, who requested Zeus to make the Greeks suffer for their slight against Achilles. The shadow of Achilles' wrath loomed large over the Greek forces as Zeus, in fulfillment of his promise to Thetis, cast a malevolent eye upon them. The divine intervention had begun, and the Greeks found themselves ensnared in a web of suffering. As the Trojans, emboldened by the absence of Achilles, pressed their advantage, it was Hector, the indomitable commander of the Trojan army, who stood as the embodiment of their defiance. Agamemnon, the desperate and beleaguered commander of the Greeks, understood that he needed to act swiftly to alter the course of the war. He implored Achilles to return to the battlefield, offering not only to return the coveted Briseis, but also pledging a wealth of treasures as compensation. The weight of the Greek world seemed to rest upon this plea. Despite the heartfelt appeals of figures like Odysseus, Nestor, and his cousin Ajax, Achilles remained steadfast in his refusal. His resolve, fueled by his sense of honor and indignation, refused to yield to Agamemnon's entreaties. The Greeks watched in despair as their last glimmer of hope for Achilles' return faded. As the Trojans continued to gain ground, Hector's unrelenting onslaught on the Greek camp set their ships ablaze. Desperation and desolation gripped the Greek ranks, for the absence of Achilles was a void that could not be filled. Amidst the tumult of battle, with the Greek camp besieged and the Trojans at their gates, a pivotal moment unfolded. Patroclus, Achilles' closest and dearest friend, could no longer bear the suffering of his comrades. In an act of unparalleled selflessness and bravery, he approached Achilles with a fervent plea. Patroclus begged Achilles for permission to lead the Myrmidons into battle, donning his armor and bearing his name. Achilles, with a heavy heart and a foreboding sense of fate, consented to his friend's request. Thus, Patroclus assumed the guise of the great Achilles, stepping onto the battlefield with the weight of his friend's legacy upon his shoulders. In a tempestuous and fierce battle, Patroclus, wearing the renowned armor of Achilles, drove the Trojans back and even vanquished Sarpedon, the heroic son of Zeus. His valor shone like a beacon, yet tragedy, as foretold, would not be forestalled. Hector, with the divine assistance of Apollo, confronted Patroclus in a climactic showdown. The outcome was heart-wrenching. Patroclus fell, pierced by Hector's fatal spear. The Greek warriors, their hearts heavy with grief, scrambled to recover the fallen hero's lifeless body. A pall of sorrow descended upon the camp, and Achilles, when confronted with the death of his cherished friend, was consumed by a potent maelstrom of sorrow and an insatiable thirst for revenge. Achilles' grief, an all-consuming tempest, threatened to engulf him entirely. As he grieved for Patroclus, his anger, like a smoldering ember, burst forth into an unquenchable flame of rage and fury. Vowing vengeance upon Hector, the Trojan champion who had taken his dearest friend from him, Achilles turned to his mother, Thetis, the sea goddess. In a heart-wrenching plea, Achilles beseeched Thetis to intercede with the gods on his behalf. His fervent request was for a new set of armor, a divine creation forged by the master blacksmith of the gods, Hephaestus. This magnificent armor would become a symbol of his renewed determination and his inexorable pursuit of retribution. Clad in this formidable new armor, Achilles, with the weight of his grief and the fires of vengeance burning within him, emerged once more onto the battlefield. The Greeks, witnessing the resurgence of their indomitable hero, were galvanized by his return. Achilles' wrath, renewed and unbridled, knew no restraint. The climax of his vengeance would soon be realized as he confronted Hector, the mightiest champion of Troy, in a battle that would determine the fate of nations and the course of the Trojan War itself. The duel between Achilles and Hector was an epic clash, a collision of two titans. In the end, Achilles emerged victorious, and Hector fell before him. Achilles then subjected Hector's body to a brutal and symbolic act of defilement, dragging it thrice around the walls of Troy. The desecration of Hector's corpse grieved the gods, and even Achilles' own heart began to soften. The grief of Priam, Hector's father and the king of Troy, reached the gods themselves. In a daring act of humanity, Priam ventured into the Greek camp under the cover of night to ransom his son's body. Kneeling before Achilles, Priam kissed the hands of his son's killer and uttered words of profound sorrow and compassion. It was a moment of shared humanity amidst the brutality of war, and Achilles, moved by Priam's courage and love, allowed the Trojan king to retrieve Hector's body for a proper burial. Following this, Achilles agreed to an 11-day truce while the Trojans mourned their fallen warriors. Following the death of Hector, the Trojans received aid from unexpected quarters. The Amazons, a tribe of warrior women descended from Ares, the god of war, joined the fray. Penthesilea, their fearless queen, led her Amazon warriors into battle. In a tragic twist of fate, Achilles, the relentless warrior, ultimately clashed with Penthesilea. He vanquished her in combat, but as he looked upon her lifeless form, he felt an unexpected pang of pity for his fallen foe. It was a moment that would haunt him. The Greeks faced another formidable ally of the Trojans, Memnon, the king of the Ethiopians. Memnon, born of the dawn goddess Eos and related to the Trojan royal family, posed a serious threat to the Greeks. In battle, Memnon slew Antilochus, the son of wise King Nestor, and a close companion of Achilles. The death of Antilochus kindled a fire of vengeance within Achilles. As the war between the Greeks and Trojans raged on, Achilles' destiny drew nearer to its fateful conclusion. A story of treacherous deceit and divine intervention, Achilles, the indomitable Greek warrior, had been a formidable force throughout the Trojan War. His feats on the battlefield had left the Trojans trembling, and his name had become synonymous with unmatched prowess. However, the gods had decided a most unexpected and tragic end for this legendary hero. It was Paris, the Trojan prince whose audacious abduction of Helen had ignited this epic conflict, who would become the unwitting instrument of Achilles' downfall. Guided by none other than the god Apollo himself, Paris drew his bowstring taut, aimed true, and released a deadly arrow. This arrow, guided by divine hands, found its mark in Achilles' vulnerable heel, the only point on his body where he could be harmed. The strike was swift, and Achilles, the seemingly invincible warrior, fell to the ground, his strength waning with each passing moment. His magnificent armor, once gleaming in the sunlight, now felt heavy and burdensome as he lay on the battlefield. It was a stark reminder of the vulnerability that lay hidden beneath his awe-inspiring exterior. As the lifeblood flowed from his mortal wound, Achilles gazed up at the heavens, questioning the capriciousness of the gods who had blessed him with such might and cursed him with such a frailty. In that moment, his thoughts turned to his mother, Thetis, who had tried to make him immortal, yet had left his heel exposed, unknowingly sealing his fate. The news of Achilles' fall spread like wildfire across the battlefield, and a somber stillness settled upon both Greek and Trojan ranks. The hero who had been the bedrock of the Greek army, the terror of the Trojan forces, was no more. After Achilles' death, a new conflict arose among the Greeks. His splendid armor, a testament to his unparalleled heroism, became the center of a fierce dispute between Odysseus and Ajax, two of the mightiest Greek heroes. Each believed that he deserved to inherit Achilles' armor, but the decision ultimately rested with the Greek leaders. In a moment of judgment, they awarded the precious armor to Odysseus. Ajax, consumed by rage and humiliation, plotted to kill Odysseus and the other Greek commanders under the cover of night. However, Athena, the patron goddess of Odysseus, intervened. She drove Ajax mad, causing him to slaughter the Greeks' livestock, believing them to be his enemies. Overwhelmed by guilt, Ajax took his own life, and thus the saga of Achilles, a tale of divine lineage, heroism, wrath, and tragedy, drew to a close, leaving behind a legacy that would echo through the ages.